bless us, Lord. We are people, you are God. Most of this stuff is just for us. You already know how this service will end, Father. You just call us in fellowship and give to us portions of your Holy Spirit to sing, to dance, to preach in different regards. So, Lord, I thank you. And, Father, I pray that we will not come in vain. Lord, no man can touch us the way you can. Father, I pray that today will be a day of salvation. I pray, Father, that it may please you to touch us. I pray that as we reason one with another, the Holy Ghost of promise will work in our hearts so that we may be able to know and say exactly what you need us to know and say today. Help me not to speak in my own knowledge or wisdom or understanding or lack thereof. Father, if it pleases you, and I thank you because of your spirit that moves within my heart to speak that which is true and appropriate, then we are blessed. Father, I pray, God, that your people's heart will be willing to receive in Jesus' name. Amen. Speak through me and speak to me, I pray, Father, that your will may be done. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Are the children there? Okay, children, you're excused to go to your Sunday school classes. I'd like to welcome Brother Shegun's uncle and madam. Thank you. Please welcome amidst us. They are visiting with Brother Shegun. Please, let's make them welcome. They are not our guests. They are the guests of the church. And that's my older brother and Moyewa Tofumi, my boy and my girl, my nephew and my niece. I'd like to welcome you. Brother Inka, I thought you were here the last time. We didn't come to church together. So I always make fun of him that he's responsible for most things that you see in me because I followed him when I was younger a lot and a few of the bad things as well. So you can blame it on him. Well, we bless the Lord. Who else is? Sorry, Ma, I keep forgetting your name. Mrs. Alo, we welcome you amidst us again. We bless the Lord for what he's doing. Brother Bumi, where's Brother Bumi? Just tell him we welcome him amidst us again. Okay, we welcome you amidst us. That's our pastor, Brother Bumi. He's been away to Nigeria. He's traveled overseas and land. So we thank God for bringing you back safely. And we welcome you. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Please, let's be here. Jesus is here. Let's be here. Let our minds be here. Let's cast away the people around us. They don't matter at this point in time. Where the Lord Jesus Christ holds court, no king, no kingdom, no title, nobody matters. Even your dresses, they don't matter. The Lord Jesus Christ today is amidst us. So last week we had talked about holiness and just the need for holiness. We had talked about how holiness is now a rotting word within the Christian church. I think we brought out issues of how it's almost ridiculed. Rather than an attribute of God that we embrace and also aspire to, as in almost all attributes of God are to be aspired to. Because remember, when we were born into Christ, we were born as sinners. Nobody was born righteous. The Bible says none is righteous, not one. So all attributes, the attributes of justice, of holiness, of peace, they are learned and acquired attributes from the Lord Jesus. The Bible says that as we behold the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we steadfastly behold it, that is how we are transformed from glory unto glory as well. So there's no shakara there. Please, I like to speak in plain language. And you all know, just for the guests. I don't believe in preaching languages. The Lord Jesus Christ was plain spoken. So in any way that you understand that the Holy Spirit brings to my heart, I will speak. Whether it's vernacular or it's grammar. So when we came as sinners. There's nothing we can boast about, you know. There's no, everything that we have is acquired from the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, let the rich not boast in their wealth, the wise should not boast in their wisdom. I actually said the righteous should not boast in their righteousness. He that boasts should only boast in one thing, that he does know me, that I'm the Lord that exercises spirit and righteousness in all of the earth. So we're talking about the attribute of holiness and how Satan has deceived us generally to despise that attribute, such that in conversations amidst Christians today, you hear phrases like, you're holier than thou. And it's a ridicule. What is supposed to be the pride and the garment of a Christian? When they say, and I used an example, I think it was Brother Jide and his son. Brother Jide is not here. that supposing you see a son and they say you resemble your father, the son is supposed to be proud of it. Say, yeah, I'm like my dad, okay? But in our case, when they say you resemble your father, it's almost like it's a curse. It's like, no, I'm not trying to behave holier than thou. Oh, yes, I'm holy. I pray that when people look at me, not hypocrisy, they will say, this is a holy brother. And that's an aspiration within Christendom that we have lost. We long to be miracle workers. We long to be prosperous, which are all good things. We long to be healers. We long to be known as a great... go and meet that sister. She sees. I don't know which sister does not see. You know? Say, that brother sees. You know, you can interpret that to Yoruba. We have a very popular phrase. It's Omariro. You know? And nobody is ashamed to be an Oniro. Or we say, Sister Megan, dreams. She, yes, I'm Joseph, I can dream. But how come we can't say, go and meet that brother or sister, he's holy? And we read from Hebrews 12 that without holiness, no man. Actually, the Bible says we should pursue it. So we established last week that don't let's forget it's an aspiration. We Christians have nothing to be proud of in sin. Sin should not deject us as well, because there's being created, made for us from the root of Jesse, a way out. So sin is not something that threatens us. We have enough grace to cover. But you should not glory in it as well. We should not glory in a grace that sin stained. The Bible says, can sin abide? We should say that grace should abound where, whatever. How does it go? Can sin abound? I will say that grace should abound. Right. So we're not people that glory in mediocre. We're supposed to have a standard of character and of holiness. Yes, holiness means to be preserved. And yesterday I said I really don't want to be bogged down by what is the definition of holiness. As you can notice, I'm buttoning my shirt up again. Because holiness has begun to be marked by, you know, brothers, deeper life, button shirt. But now actually it's fancy. Those days when you see buttoned up people, they are holy brothers. Right. And for some reasons, we've come to despise any effort that a person is making because they're a Christian. And we're willing to embrace all the things that we Christians do that are carnal, that are, even if not sin, they do not help our cause of holiness. You see the sister with the long skirt, who basically is just thinking of modesty, holier than thou. You don't know her. She may be a nice friend, but holier than thou. And this is the working of Satan. And we dealt with this last week. That we all know, as the Holy Spirit speaks to us, the areas and the things that are preventing us from moving closer to God. That peace that comes from knowing the Lord. We know that we are God's children. The Holy Spirit is testifying within each and every one of us the things that we need to do in order to be separated, because that's what holiness is, unto the Lord. And until we separate ourselves, the Lord talked about Israel. He talked about them as a special people. If you read the testimony of Balaam regarding them, he said, I see a people, they are separated unto the Lord. How will I curse him whom the Lord has not cursed? Throughout the scriptures, anything that belongs to the Lord is separated unto him. His priest, separated. We are called a people, separated. A holy priest, a holy priesthood. A holy nation, a royal priesthood. A peculiar kind of people, holy people. So as we go on, our aspiration should be that the world should identify us, not simply as lawyers and doctors and Christians, because that word is so common now, but as holy people as well. The challenge last week is, what are you doing about holiness? Can your friends, your family say, because he's a Christian, this is what he wouldn't do? Apart from the things that regular people won't do anyway. There are regular good Christians who won't drink. So you don't drink alcohol, congratulations. Even Muslims don't. You don't wear revealing gold, congratulations. Heaps of people don't wear revealing clothes because it's just not decent. But what is the standard in your seeking after the Lord? What are you denying yourself to help you be in tune with the Father? This is an aspiration. Our prayer every day is that we should be nearer drawn to the Lord. So we're challenging ourselves that the pursuit of holiness is a legitimate pursuit within Christianity, and we should start again. Let's begin to think again. Let's play to a choir of one. Let's play to an audience of one, rather. Let's play to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let our question every day be, today, Lord, how may I please you? That is Christianity. Then he'll begin to say to us to do things that he's not telling other people to do. The Lord is waiting for the prophets. He's waiting for the evangelist. He's waiting. But if we are not calm before him, if we are not ready, like Jeremiah, to lay 14 days on one side, another 14 days on another, for the cause of Israel, how can the Lord reveal his prophecies to us? Let nobody intimidate you. It's still trendy to pursue after Jesus. Only fools do not pursue after Jesus. Don't let the world deceive you. It is still trendy to run after Jesus. Only fools, only the blind do not run after Jesus. So this week, we're going to continue with a song as usual. Who remembers the song prayer that we sang last week? Lord, prepare me a sanctuary, pure, let's just sing it, holy, you can be seated, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Though there are many prayer points, but that is one prayer point I think all of us need. As we rise in the morning, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. The kind that is pure and holy, the kind that is tried, through trials is still found true. And with thanksgiving, I will be a living sanctuary for you, my Lord. So we'll sing another one today, if you don't mind. Brother Peter, can you help us pull up that song? And whoever can sing it, because I don't believe I know how to sing it well. That song that says, let's talk about Jesus. If you YouTube it, just the lyrics, not YouTube. I like us to sing it in our own voices. It says, let's talk about Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, supreme through all eternity. The great I am, the way, the truth, the life, the door. Let's talk about Jesus more and more. I like us to sing that song. Because today, for the few minutes, all we'll do is talk about Jesus. Because I don't think my Lord is being talked about enough. The structure of the church we discuss is the man of God, we give glory to ourselves and discuss the eminence of the office of a GO, we talk about it. The building project, we talk about it. The doctrine of prosperity, we talk about it. But I don't believe the man Jesus, to whom belong the glory and the honor and the praise, the author and the finisher of our salvation, the Alpha and the Omega, the soon coming King, the Prince of Peace. I don't believe we either talk about him or know him enough as Christians. We know the seven tenets of Calvinism. We do not know the red letter words of the Bible. So, and I think, as I think about this, and I think we've mentioned it several times in the church, for anyone who truly reads the Bible very well, the New Testament, the Lord Jesus Christ talked about himself more than he talked about stuff. Actually, in summary, the doctrine of Jesus Christ was himself. He preached himself. Ask him any question, he will tell you, I am this, I am that. He was the topic of the sermon. And as we talk about holiness, I don't believe we can aspire unto holiness until we are buddies with the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no formula, there's no this, I can say, go and read your Bible and pray every day, which is true. But until you love Jesus, until we know him, until we eat his flesh, until we drink his blood, until there's a person living in the inside of us, I don't believe we can use all of those means of grace. When we came into Christianity, we did not sign a membership card. Some people do. We believed in a man. I think all of you have your testimonies of salvation. And I can bet you, on that day when you got born again, there was you and only one person. He knew the prayers on that day that your heart wanted to pray and your lips could not utter. Well, the pastor may have helped you, but there was one person that came into your heart. His name is Jesus. I don't want us to exchange the church for Jesus. With Jesus. I don't want us to exchange the personhood of Christ for Bible reading, or for prayer meeting, or any religious exercise. He is a man. He presented himself to us not as a doctrine, but as a man. He ate with us. He dined with us. He healed our mothers. He visited with us. He came into our homes. When I came into Christianity, I came to meet a man. Gentle, meek, and mild. A friend. He understood me. But above all, he made me understand him. I found him to be easy. His burden really was, the yoke I was carrying was heavier than the one that Jesus gave to me. He came not condemning me, but that through him I may have life. He has gone to be with the Father. We do not see him with our physical eyes. But he said he'll be with us, and I testify that he is with us. And I know some of you here, I pray all of us that we'll be able to testify that we have met Jesus. So I'd like us to, Brother Peter, is that song? Let's rise up and just sing that song. I don't know how to sing it. It's been a long time, but please, Mom, I sang it well? Okay, so let's rise and sing that song. Let's go. Let's talk about Jesus. Okay, there we go.
The King of Kings is he, the Lord of Lords supreme, through all eternity. The great I am, the way, the truth, the life, the door. Let's talk about Jesus more and more.
Let's sing it today, thinking about all those lyrics.
Let's talk about Jesus, the King of Kings, my Lord, the Lord of Lords, supreme through all eternity. The great I am, the way, the truth, the life, the door. Let's talk about Jesus more and more, more and more. Let's talk about Jesus, the King of Kings is he, the Lord of Lords supreme, through all eternity. The great I am, the way, the truth, the life, the door. Let's talk about Jesus more and more.
Please keep standing. That is the sermon, really. That is the sermon. If I get a sense after singing this song that the message that the Lord wants to pass across is done, we close the service. So there's no need to... I want us to think about this. You all have... I don't know, is anybody hungry here? I don't mean food hungry. Is anybody hungry for Jesus here? Is any, you've been through it. You've tasted all these other stuff. I've been to great services. I've seen great men of God. I've seen how they can rock you and, you know, they can massage that message and they're great. I've been through eloquent preaching. I've seen it all in my 20 plus years in Christ. I've been to great services. I've heard songs that make goosebumps come out of your skin and you come out of the church and you are blank again. You need to come back for a refill the following Sunday. But I've met a man that never left me nor forsook me. His name is Jesus. Anytime I'd been friends with Christ, anytime my soul and my heart had been filled, anytime the living water flowed in my heart, the week had been fine. This is the message. May the Lord speak to us. The song says, let's talk about him more and more. I like us to sing it soberly. Think about it. Oh, that Jesus will visit with us. His message is so simple. He said, I'm meek, I'm mild. My yoke is light. My burden is easy, and you will find rest for your soul. Come, all ye who labor and are heavy laden. I'm not calling you to endless Endless prayer meetings. He did not call a single prayer, except at Gethsemane, when he called a one-hour prayer meeting and they slept off anyway. My people, he did not ask a thing of us. They were hungry, he gave bread. He said, I'm the bread of life. They were thirsty, he gave them water. I'm the water of life. He just kept giving and giving. The Jesus that we have come to under the umbrella of Jesus Christ is a loving, giving Jesus. He's strong enough to hold us. He loves us. To the meek, if he was very meek. To those who disturbed us with religion, he was very fierce. He fought for us. He stood for us. He lived with us. Emmanuel, he was God with us. He has not called for our donations. The Lord did not call for a single tithe. Does it bother you that he never called for an offering? He carried out a 3-year ministry. Please open that scripture where he called for offering. Offering time, blessing time. Peter, where is the offering bowl? Philip, why aren't there many of them? You know there is a multitude. Let us take offering because we have to serve bread. And you know money is the vehicle of inherity. The Lord never said that. He was just given. Just given. Just given. Ought we not to talk about him more and more? The chief cornerstone. Every foundation that is laid aside from Jesus Christ is sand. The rock of life. We can sing that sitting down, right? Because we're going to sing it, but please sit down, be comfortable. Let's talk about it in our house. For like, I remind me when I visit with you to talk about Jesus. Seriously, I like it when you call me and you're asking Bible questions. Those other questions. Femi, talk about him in the executive meeting. I dare you. Especially because your boss is a Muslim. As often as you can. Listen, we all have a message. The name of Jesus Christ is the highest, most intelligent message you can preach. You don't need 7 steps. Everybody knows how to spell J-E-S-U-S or J-E-S-U in my language or in some language, I-S-U. Oh. He's simple. Let's talk about him more and more. Let's talk about him to our children. Let's talk about him in the morning. Let's talk about him in the afternoon. Let's talk about him at night. Let's remember. Sister Folake, when we make the announcement, let's say, by the grace of God, of the Lord, on Wednesday we will meet. That's what James says. Relentlessly talk about Jesus. No, it's not a chastisement, though. Don't be. You know me too, I make the announcement and I forget. But remind me. Mama Soji, my person. Let's talk about, there's no fellowship without Jesus. New Covenant Church is just a certificate of church certification, whatever they call it, without Jesus. They're just a group of friends. Let's talk about him. If I be lifted up, then I will draw men unto myself. It's a Bible practice to talk about Jesus. John the Baptist said, do you not understand? He must increase, I must decrease. He must get more popular, I must get less popular. Because it's the one that comes after me, shoelace. I'm not worthy to untie it, whatever that English word is. Let's talk about Jesus. Let's talk about Jesus. And I'd like you this morning to talk about Jesus. Anybody has moved by the Holy Spirit, tell me something you know about the Lord. I am the way, the truth, the life, the door.
Let's talk about Jesus more and more.
I don't want to hear about the definition of faith or grace. As though by defining grace, it means you have grace. You may know the definition of love and not know love. But if you know Jesus, you have grace, you have love, you have righteousness, you have peace. In him dwelleth the fullness bodily of the Godhead. Please just interrupt me. If you want to say something inspired about Jesus, I just want to hear about Jesus this morning. Let's go to the book of Isaiah real quick, where this whole story started. Chapter 9. The Lord was invited to speak in a synagogue before his death. We'll read chapter 9, and then we'll read Isaiah chapter 61. Chapter 9, verse 6, a passage which sadly, tragically, is now only read on Easter or on Christmas. They say it's a Christmas passage. No, it's not. It's one of the most important passages in scriptures. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulders. The moment our faces are no longer turned towards Jesus, we are going to see Obama government or Hillary Clinton or APC government or was PC. We are going to see other government. Oh, that the eyes of the church was turned on Jesus, and we shall know that the government rests upon his shoulders. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my King. He is the mighty one. His name is wonderful. He is a counselor. The moment we are fixated on Christ, you will see that the counsel of peace within your heart. You will no longer need a prophet. If you have Jesus living with you, you don't need a prophet. Because the spirit of prophecy lives within you. He's a friend. He's not dead. He's not dead. He's risen. Mighty God. Everlasting Father. The Prince of Peace. And the next verse says, of the increase of the government of Jesus and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David, over his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will be the one to perform it, not the agenda of the church. If I be lifted up, then I will draw men unto myself. That's the word of prophecy. That's how active the Lord Jesus Christ is. That word can never fall to the ground because that government will not fail. The problem is we will be part of it. Where Jesus is, no man can stand. Because he's been given a name which is above every other name, that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, every geo will bow. You will lose a sense of yourself. I pray that I will always decrease, that Jesus, there may be room for Jesus to increase in me. Times we crowd our lives so much with activities and stuff that there's no room for Christ. We run from pillar to post when he lives in our heart. Let's talk about Jesus. Isaiah, open with me to Isaiah chapter 61. I hear the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ when he came. Said, the Spirit of the Lord, from verse 1, is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach to you good tidings. Remember, the word of prophecy had gone on that saying that the people had lived in great darkness. And out of the land of the shadow of death, a light has come. Before Christ, we were all living without hope. Israel, the people chosen of the Lord, had sinned against him. They had been driven away from the land that was given by promise to their father Abraham. He If you read the records of Jeremiah, the lamentations of Jeremiah, and the records of the judges and the kings of Israel, you will see how grievously the people had grieved the Lord. Up until the time when the son of Jesse came, the whole world was in darkness. There was no hope for the rich, for the poor, for the healthy, for the meek. There was no hope on earth. Every man had sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Although they ate, although they went to weddings, although they got married, although they dressed well, although they lived to be 100 and something years, they were still in darkness. The whole world was in darkness. Our kings were blind. Our governors were blind. There was no hope. Everybody that died went to hell. Except those who died by faith in Christ, looking forward to the promise of Christ that is to come. That's found in Hebrews 11. There's no name given unto man, no name by which we might be saved, except the name of Jesus Christ. That's how important the Lord Jesus is. And then there was good news. He came preaching good news. In the passage that Darren read this morning, the mother of John the Baptist talked about how John the Baptist would come to show the way of salvation to the people. In that passage that Darren read, he talked about how the Gentiles also would trust in him. And we are Gentiles. The Bible says regarding you and I in Ephesians 2, that we were cut off from the commonwealth of God. You see, we said there was no hope for Israel. We are not even Israelites. There had never been hope for the Gentiles until Jesus came. The idols of our forefathers could not save them. They had mouth, they couldn't talk. They had ears, they couldn't hear. Until Jesus came. I always, because we are mostly all, actually all Africans here. And I always tell you about this history. Just look at it. As early as 1900, I know shortly before then Christianity came too, but just the environment in the Africa that we now know as the motherland, the whole continent was draped in darkness. I mean palpable darkness. We were burying our children because they were twins. We were using women as slaves. The mortality rate was about 50%. We were bowing down. We were full of superstition, bowing down to idols. This good news is why you and I are sitting here. The colonialists did not plan to bring us here and make us, oh yeah, that's Dr. Danuga, and look at Sister Tola and Mommy too and everybody. Our forefathers were wearing leaves. When I read some of the histories of the missionaries that came as early as, if you go and read the history of Florence Nightingale, was it Florence Nightingale? Mary Slessor. It was Mary Slessor. Go and read how they described the Africa that they met. These were your forefathers. Savages was appropriate. Full of super. We were eating human flesh. I'm talking 1900. I'm not talking ancient history. When was the automobile made? Some people were already driving cars, right? When did Henry Ford start his first assembly? Exactly. Guys, Detroit was already blooming. So I'm not talking Stone Age. Our continent was steeped in darkness. And Jesus brought light. We owe the Lord Jesus a lot. Missionaries built schools. Some of our educated foreparents was because of the good news that came. They wanted us to learn to read the Bible because those who came earlier came to exploit us. We owe Christ everything. Even those who don't know, they owe Christ a lot. He said, I've come to preach the good tidings to the poor. To the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Are you brokenhearted there? To proclaim liberty to the captives. Do you feel captive there? And the opening of prison to those who are bound. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of the vengeance of our God. To come to tell people, stop living in blissful ignorance. The judgment of God is coming. Yes, that was part of the message. We don't hear that again. The messages we hear is as if life will continue forever and everybody will die. And then the chariots will come. Okay, sweet Lord, sweet Lord. Oh no, Jesus came to also warn us to be ready. That the judgment of the Lord is coming. For those who mourn, I've come to comfort them, says the Lord. Are you mourning? This year marked the 4th year that I lost my wife. The 10th. That was yesterday. Is that the day before yesterday? Yeah. And I can testify that this scripture is true, brothers. I'll be a liar. By the way, I just want to thank the Church of God. I really want to thank all of you for all the love that you have given to me, to my girls personally in the last 4 years. This is my family. I really bless the Lord for. Okay, just let's keep preaching. To comfort those who mourn in Zion. I've seen the hand of the Lord in comfort. So I don't know if there's anybody here that is mourning. Thank God for Jesus Christ. You don't need anything else. I've seen the hand of the Lord in comfort. You don't need anything else. Only that Christ may increase. I just want you to consider the man Jesus. That's his mission statement right there. And I can testify to you that it is true. The Lord gives us all experience that by experiences we may minister the manifold grace and the truth of God's word. I can testify to you that as he has promised, I have seen with my own eyes that he is true to his words. We can really go through the valley of the shadow of death and fear no evil because Jesus is with us. His rod and his staff will comfort us. To console those who mourn in Zion, to give to them beauty for ashes. I want to give to you the oil of joy for mourning, and you will have the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. If you see me dancing today, it's because he's giving to me beauty for ashes and an oil of joy. Satan's plan is that my life will be forever marred, or some of your lives and some of your peculiar experience, because this experience is not peculiar to me. Actually, by extension, what we have suffered, each one of us in this church, by the love of God, we suffered it together. So to give all of us beauty for all ashes, the oil of joy for money, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, we should go out there and tell people. My point is, we need to talk more and more about this Jesus. He's not getting credit for what he does. Every Friday, we gather here with prayer points. We have had prayer points and we thought, now to die. We couldn't figure out how we were going to survive this. Things have happened contrary to our expectation and our prayers that we thought the end had come. Are we not standing today because of Jesus? He's able to save us from and through. And we have had both dimensions of salvation. We're standing in grace, and we will stand until Jesus comes. Let's talk about Jesus. People say, tell me, they wonder what to say to evangelize to their neighbors. Why don't you talk about Jesus? But I can't see him. I can't feel him. Okay, just tell him what Jesus says about himself. And I think that's evangelism. So that we may be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, and that he, when we talk about him, it's not that we may be glorified, but that he may be glorified. Christians, my brothers and sisters, my challenge today is just to say to us, please open your mouth and talk about Jesus. Open your mouth and praise the Lord. I don't really want to sing that song. I'm just saying, don't be generic about your godliness and lordliness. Talk about Jesus. Where is Jesus in our songs? You see what Satan has done? We can do a whole praise, not in New Covenant Church, but we can do a whole praise and worship without mentioning Jesus. How can you go to the house of a king and you are doing 1 hour of praising the king and his name does not come up once? I mean, after 4 or 5 Sundays, the king will have to tell you, okay, I've seen you. You greeted my father. You greeted my brother. The only, but I don't see who is king. I think this is my time, right? Thank God we cannot divide the Godhead. Even though some of us would have tried to do that. Say, so this is the dispensation of the Father. This is the dispensation. I don't see the Bible, the Lord telling us, my dispensation is without the Father. They are one. They are not liberally dispensed. They are in unison. When they ask you, who are you? Say, I love Jesus. What denomination? I love Jesus. Who is your Savior? I love Jesus. Let's talk about Jesus. If you see someone whose heart is broken, introduce Jesus to them. If you see someone that needs to be comforted, open up Jesus. Enough 7 steps to a happy Christian life. There's only one step to a happy Christian life. Walk with Jesus. Say, if you obey my word, then I and my Father will come. If you abide in my word, my Father and I will come. Both of us will abide with you. We'll make a dwelling with you. I pray in Jesus' name that we'll know more about Jesus than we do about Christian doctrine. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Someone should please read from John chapter 1, verse 6. We'll read a few verses, then close out the service. I just want to say to us today, it's time to just talk about Jesus. I was challenging a close friend of mine about a week plus ago. I was challenging her to look at all the, and I'm challenging you as God's children. There's no excuse, brethren. No, and I mean it. I mean, just look at it. Think about this. Brethren, just think about this carefully. Is there any excuse for a Christian not to know all the red letter words in the Bible? If you put them together, they are less than a book. For a person who has been a Christian for 10, 15 years, not to be so familiar with every word that Jesus spoke. And the same person can tell you all the books of the law, what the law, if he's a lawyer, can tell you, quote the law. If he's a doctor, can tell you all the medicine and pharmacies. If he's a politician, he knows where all of his contributors are. If he's a nurse, he knows his case, she knows her caseload inside out. If they are students, they know their book properly. But when you say, what did Jesus say about this? So I was challenging my friend that make sure, if you don't know Jeremiah, if you don't know Isaiah, if you don't, because it's a lot to know, right? But those words spoken by him who said, not a word, not a tittle from my word will fall to the ground. Heaven and earth will pass away, but every single word that I spoke to you will come to pass. We should know it. There are not a lot of them. And I can imagine on that day, when we begin to present our excuses, I had 3 children. I'm a counselor. You know, I was very busy in the House of Assembly. I had speaking engagements all over in England, in Tokyo, in this. We're working on it. In all of this. And it's going to say to you, Angel Gabriel, yes, my Lord. Can you condense the words that I've spoken into a single book? And they bring you something like a daily paper. You mean to say to me that you are my follower and you've not taken the time in all these years to know all of this? Heaven will be a judgment will be a very interesting place. Like when the Lord showed me the vision of what the judgment between a husband and a, you think your wife is your friend or your husband is your friend. Yes, it's true. But in the face of eternity, that's the chief witness for or against you. So you better be nice. If God is calling evidence, because at that time the Bible said there will be no more husbandry or wifery in heaven. The Lord will call and say, who is the closest, before I who knows his heart and thoughts, I will give my testimony. But who is the closest person to, then the angel will say, Mrs. Lagbaja. Say, come on, what do you know about this person? He's generally nice, he's generally this, but when it comes to money, because I can't lie before you, my Lord, and indict myself, he's kind of, people outside wouldn't know this. So that person that God has put beside you, It could be your best friend or your worst enemy. So on Judgment Day. So, I mean, we ought to know the words of our Lord Jesus Christ inside out. Please read that John passage.
There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men would through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become sons of God, even to them that believed on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God.
And that's the good. That's good.
Okay.
He came to his own, and his own did not know him. Brethren, I have to tell you, the Lord Jesus won't feel welcome in many of our churches today. Will he be welcome in your home? If he was to come the way he came, many of us will not find him a very palatable guest. The way he looked will not be acceptable to some of us. The people he hung with will not be acceptable to us. There are churches that are basically too beautiful for the Lord to be comfortable in because his friends won't find them comfortable. He could dine with Herod. He hung out with the poor. He could be born in a palace. He was born in a manger. He was the kind of man that will wash dirty feet. He was the kind of man that they will go, "Good teacher." I will say, hey, masami, I mean, don't, just, I'm not that kind of person. Whereas in most of our churches, now let's welcome the highly anointed one, the Reverend Doctor. And we glory in these things. But Christ wasn't like that. Why don't you follow the example? You know, I mean, this is what, you know, when you know about Jesus, your Christianity is a little bit simpler and more peaceful. He wasn't like that. He didn't hang. And when they wanted to make him kings, he just walked away. So when you are there just hailing him and say, "Look, I have work to do. I'm here to finish the work that my father has sent me. You can't bother disturb me with this." That is the Jesus that we hear. Very humble, very meek. He came to his own. And I wonder when I read that passage that if he were to come to his own, we will know him. If Christ was to walk in New Covenant into New Covenant Church today, we will even recognize him. The sermon he will have to preach will shock all of us. Because we may be expecting a sermon of grace, and he may be saying to us, "I've extended all grace and died on the cross for you." He may instead write us the 7 letters to the churches. "I know your ways. I know that you are orthodox. You have learned to discern false preachers. And I agree with you. That's good. But I have this one thing against you. You are neither warm nor cold." I was asking a sister of mine one day. We were talking and I said, "Come, it's easy to talk about that, but let's talk about ourselves. Let's talk about our church." I said, "Are we cold?" And my sister said, "Oh, no. Folaka, it wasn't you, right?" Okay, so don't think it's because everybody knows you are my sister. So it's not Folake. I said, "Are we cold?" "It's Shade." I said, "Shade, look, are we cold?" And she said, "No, we're not." And I said, "Are we hot?" And she said, "No, we're not." After much reluctance, after trying to argue and to wiggle out, but given what's going on, I'm asking you a simple question. Are we hot? We have to honestly say no. So if you are not hot and you are not cold, what are you? Do we have work to do in New Covenant Church or not? Because what happens to lukewarmness?
Spit you out.
What?
Spit them out.
What's the difference between cold water and lukewarm water? It still spew out. You can't use warm water, lukewarm water to make tea. You know, when you bring it home that way, you know we have work and it's not yet time to rest. You can't congratulate. Those churches were congratulating themselves. Oh, at least we have good doctrine. We have great teachers. We are not like people who say, open to John 3:16, so to bring $316. Our pastors are humble. Our something is the... Yeah, okay, congratulations. But this one thing I have against you, has your love waxed cold? Our Lord Jesus Christ is unlike humans. His purpose is to make sure that we're ready. He died, he gave his life so that he may present to his Father a chaste church. That's his object. Anything that will prevent that, he loves us too much to let it go. I've always said to people, there's no comparative righteousness. You are either righteous or you are not. But Lord, forgive me. I'm not where you are, but at least I'm better than Brother B. You're not going to be able to say that. But Brother B is saying, forgive me, Lord. I'm not where I'm supposed to be, but that Brother Peter, I know I'm better than him. At least he can only fast 5 days. Me, I can do it. No, there's no comparative. It's either our hearts. And thank God, righteousness is not difficult. It simply means a heart that is fully dependent on Christ, walking with it, that preserves the Lord Jesus Christ to every other thing. May the Lord help us. I'd like to close with the passage to give my testimony again, and the passage that the Lord gave to me that brought me to salvation, which is the testimony that I give every time. As I came to the Lord Jesus, in Micah chapter 7, someone should please start reading from verse 6. 7:8-8. And then we'll close out the service.
Micah 7:6.
From 6.
For the son dishonoreth the father, the daughter riseth up against her mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house. Therefore I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me.
A long time ago, I was in darkness. I had everything I needed in life. I went to the best schools that at least money could afford in the area that I lived in. I had great company as friends. I had great families around me. And I was in college, but I was still troubled. I did the things that I did not want to do. And I was inside really looking for a savior. But I didn't know where to look. And I remember one Sunday morning like this. I was outside of the campus and I heard singing. So I was going to play. We had two campuses in the university that I went to. And I was going from one of the campuses to the other. So I was doing a changeover and I heard singing. So I just decided to go in there. And I found a man called Pastor Muddy. I remember his name. I think he's passed now. When I get to heaven, I'm going to seek him out, look for the address, and say thank you, because he doesn't know me. Till today, he had no idea what happened on that day, but I never forgot his name. And he was reading this passage, and he came to the point where he says, though I sit in darkness, Christ will give me light. I don't remember what the sermon was about. I don't remember what the topic is, but I did know that at that point I needed light. I wanted to please the Lord. I wanted to do the things not that I wanted to do, but the things that God would want me to do. So I took that passage and I was thinking about it and I was really disturbed in my spirit. I slept in Folake's dad's house that night. So I went back. I live in some quarters in Folake's, in the staff quarters there, but I decided to, because I didn't want to be alone, so I decided to go and sleep in. Why are you looking at me? Of course you don't know. What do you know? So I slept in Yinka's room that day. And I was troubled. I woke up, this is now Monday, right? And I woke up and I was walking to my place and there's a bush path, you know, on the way to the primary school. And the Holy Spirit said to me, I now know, I didn't know what then. Now I know that was the Holy Spirit and the way he brought you. Just go in there. So I walked and something broke within me and I could not stop weeping and praying and asking the Lord to give me light. I wanted light. I wasn't broke. If I was broke, I could call my brother. They could solve the money problem. I wasn't broke. I had a problem that no one could solve. And I don't know how long I was there, but I was totally, when I rose up that day, Christ had given me light. And the same Jesus lives in me till today. I became a brand new creature. I became a person that my friends could no longer recognize. The Lord blessed me and helped me and gave me salvation. I don't know what state you're in, but if for any reason you're displeased with where you are and you want true peace and true joy, and you have been seeking everywhere for it, I'd like to challenge you that the Lord Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man with so much as open the door, I will come in and dine with him and him with me. That is the good news, friendship with God. I can testify that it is true. And I pray that the Lord who called me, who called you, will also grant to us daily grace to continue in faithfulness until he comes to take us home. But the Lord is coming. The Lord Jesus is coming. It's like a fairy tale now, but as a thief in the night, Jesus will come. He will judge every flesh and every creature. We will all give account of how we spent our sojourn on earth. The mouth of the Lord has spoken it. So let's reach out to Jesus. Those of us who have Jesus in our hearts, let our light not be hidden under a bushel. Say, no man lights a candle and puts it under a bushel. And a city that is on a hill has no choice but to give its light. Let your light so shine to the world that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Come, let's fellowship together in Christ our Lord, with the Lord Jesus himself, our leader, and our captain, the captain of the host. Let the remnant be of our days be to serve him who loved us and died for us and made us princes and kings unto our God. Let us pray. Into my heart, into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, come in to stay, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Lord, that you may dwell in our hearts by faith, that we, being rooted and grounded in love, may know together with these saints that we read about who have walked with you, that which is the length and the breadth, the depth and the height, that we may be filled with the fullness of God. Grant this, Lord Jesus, for you live to make intercession for us. Brothers and sisters, these are words of eternity. If you want to hear more, if you have questions, if you want to pray with someone, please just reach out to Brother Bumi, or I want the workers of New Covenant Church to stand up for a moment. If you're a worker in New Covenant Church, just stand up for a moment, please. Please, let's open our eyes. Brother Bumi, please. Please just call any of these people and ask for the way of salvation. Talk to anybody here. Talk to someone. Have discussions. Reach out to anybody. If you have any questions, if you need a help, if you need someone to hold your hand and pray, after the service, the Lord has knocked. Reach out. Praise the Lord. Please be seated. We thank you, Lord. We thank you because you will do your work. And your name is glorified in all the earth. We bless your holy name. Thank you for giving me the grace to preach the gospel this morning. Thank you for the privilege, Father. The words that I've spoken, Lord, let it not stand against me on judgment day. Give me the grace and the faithfulness that in all I've spoken, I may be in compliance before you. Thank you, Father, for in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Brother Peter, there's a hymn, "My On Christ the Solid Rock I Stand." My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Amen. In every wild and stormy gale, my anchor holds and will not fail. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His vow, his covenant and blood are my defense against the flood. When earthly hopes are swept away, he will uphold me on that day. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When the last trumpet's voice shall sound, oh, may I then in him be found, clothed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before his throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Amen. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God,
and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. And surely his goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Sin shall not have dominion over us, because we are no longer under the law, but we are under his grace. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus.